the Business Zone of Kello News Talk 1320 107.9. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, and it's the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. And now, here is your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
Good morning. It's Your Business. I'm Bill Zortman, and it's show 752 in our original It's Your Business series. Today, it's Addiction Recovery on News Talk 1320-107.9 and on our World Wide Web. The passing of a comic genius, the headline that you would see in this morning's USA Today Argus leader, is about the death of one Robin Williams, found dead in his Northern California home. He had been recovering. He had been in an addiction center recently. And for as much of a genius as he was, a lot of time those that are the life of the party can't always party in their own minds. And it has a lot of people talking this morning. And as we do on the second and fourth Tuesday each month, we provide support for addiction with stories of recovery. In our studios this morning, as they traditionally are, they were on time, as they usually are. And I didn't have to do any yoga this morning, so I was happy that they weren't that early. Joan Swenson, Recovery Admission and Marketing Alliance with Tallgrass.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
We didn't get to do any yoga because I was busy eating this blizzard that somebody had brought in.
Well, there's something about CMN and a blizzard day that's upcoming. Julie Schoolmeister is Executive Director for Face It Together Sioux Falls. Julie, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
We were talking about Robin Williams. You say there was a story out or some pictures that actually showed, or people thought he was in Minnesota a couple of months ago, maybe back in treatment.
Right. There was, you know, on an Instagram account, someone working at the Dairy Queen who got all excited because Robin Williams stopped in to visit and took a picture with him. So that kind of went viral. And then the rumors started, you know, flurrying about, you know, is he back in treatment? Is he seeking some sort of help? Because it's always a big story because he was one of those who had been in recovery for so long. Initially found sobriety in the early 80s when his son was born, and was sober for 20 years. And then had a relapse with alcohol and sought treatment at that point in the early 2000s. And I think it's, you know, it's really sad. It's one of those, it comes up again, like the Philip Seymour Hoffman. You talk about someone who's so talented and seems to have everything going for him or her. But the reality is, you know, addiction and mental health issues don't care. If money solved the problem, rich people wouldn't suffer. And money doesn't solve the problem. Talent doesn't solve the problem. You know, it's a really sad thing. There's some people that have the mentality, you know, sometimes you have to lose one to save one. You know, I think we've all heard that. But it doesn't take away from the sadness or the tragedy of what's happened. And I think when you combine severe depression, a mental health issue like that, you combine that with addiction, that's a really big battle to face when you have that type of co-occurring disorder. And there's millions of people in the country who do suffer from co-occurring disorders where there's a mental health issue and an addiction issue at the same time.
Point that we make in the show, and we do it twice a month, 1 in 10 is in need of recovery from addiction. And it strikes out even more when you hear the Hoffman case, you hear the Robin Williams case.
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of a little bit with what Julie was saying, I would say the number one mental health issue with people who call in and are trying to do an application to get into treatment is depression. I mean, we tend to be people who are depressed. Well, you're drinking massive amounts of depressant, you know, alcohol is anxious and depressed. That would be pretty much how it rolls with addiction, I seem to think. But severe, you know, I mean, it's, and we don't know everything that's going on or what happened leading up to the moment that, you know, this tragedy happened. We also don't know what was going on for him to relapse, and we'll never know, you know, at this point. I do know that it does happen, especially with long-term recovery. I mean, it's not super common. And I think, you know, this is, we've heard two cases in the last year of famous people, which, you know, but usually generally when people get into after the 5-year mark, they tend to stabilize a little bit. But it does. I mean, it's a chronic disease, you know. So it's one of those things that you have to continuously take care of on a daily basis for the rest of your life, you know, in order to stay in recovery. So
I was exchanging emails with Jody Schwann this morning and had mentioned to her what we were covering in the show, and she said, how timely that you would be doing this today. And actually, the topic was to be chronic relapse. Do you want to explain what we're going to do in studio?
Well, I brought my friend Kylie with me today, and we were just kind of talking a little bit before the show. And, you know, chronic relapse would be people who, you know, they get a little bit of time or some time under their belt, and then they drink, and then they drink for a while, and then they try to get, you know, they just continuously trying to get into recovery, however that happens. And she would be one of those. And then I was just saying to her, well, I guess we're kind of all chronic relapsers until we get into recovery, you know, because mm-hmm. it's like we try so many things to manage a disease that is unmanageable to us. You know, I'm not going to drink this. I won't drink at this time. I won't do this. I'll eat more. I'll get a job. I mean, I remember doing all of those things. So really, technically, we're all chronic relapsers until the decision's made that, and we get help and we continue on in recovery. So it's kind of one of those terms that we use, you know, in the biz, chronic relapser, but she's more than that. She's pretty awesome.
We're going to hear from her in a second.
Well, and, you know, I think, you know, Face It Together, we would probably even take the definition of relapse a little farther in that relapse doesn't necessarily have to mean that you actually, you know, ingested a substance or drank, just that you aren't really actively trying to get well. I think someone could be sober and very unhappy and not trying to, you know, manage their life better, not trying to get well. And that, to me, is a relapse, too, because you're not trying to be the best person that you can be.
Kylie, you're in the studio. We're talking about Robin Williams. We're talking about the actor Morgan Hoffman. And when we start talking about relapses, tell us your story, what happened to you, and where you go from here.
For me, there was no point of continual work when I first came into the program. And when I first, you know, I'm 15 months clean and sober tomorrow. And when I first got to the point of I'm either going to do this or I'm not, I had to realize there is no more going back and drinking and using, and that's no longer an option for me. So when those things would come up and when they would crop up, I had to realize if I relapse this one time, I may never come back. And that's, you know, that's the ultimate goal for me, is to remember where I came from and remember I don't get that option anymore. It's still there, but it's not something that I'm going to choose.
When you hear the story of Robin Williams and you relate to the story itself, there are options that people have. And in this particular case, did heavy depression go with what you have been clean for 15 months on?
It did. I won't say that there's times that I'm not depressed or feel sad or feel alone, but it's usually contingent upon what I am doing in my everyday life. And I have to reach out when I feel alone. And if I can feel myself being sucked back into depression or loneliness, I have to reach out even more and lean in even harder to the people that I know are there to support me.
We know that through the podcast we're going to have on the show that we're doing right now, that there are people out there that need help. Kylie, you're the most recent one that we have that's talked about relapse, about what you've gone through. What could you do to help them this morning? What advice can you give them that tells them to seek the help, keep after it day by day?
To reach out. The biggest thing is to not be afraid and not be ashamed. We all go through battles and we all have our own inner demons, but reaching out is the most important thing, and not being afraid of what somebody's going to think because we're reaching out. That doesn't matter. What matters is saving your own life.
Julie, Joan, reaction?
Yeah, I think Kylie hit it right there in the head. I mean, you have to, and it's so scary I mean, when you're in the middle of that, everything is scary. Getting up is scary. Getting in the car is scary. Everything is scary. So the idea of reaching out to another person and making yourself even more vulnerable is frightening. But, you know, there's so many resources in the community. You can call the 211 helpline. They have folks who are trained in suicide prevention. You can speak to folks there. You know, call your doctor, call Face It Together, call Tallgrass. It's like there's so many different resources available that you can find someone that you're going to be comfortable talking with. You just have to be willing to kind of have a little faith and take that first jump and make the call.
The iron's hot right now with the topic on the minds of everybody. Give them some contact information for both Face It Together and Tallgrass.
If you want to reach us at Tallgrass, our number is 605-368-5559 or on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
And you can reach Face It Together Sioux Falls at 605-274-2262 or on the internet at faceitsiouxfalls.org.
All right. We normally don't do this in the show, but if there are calls out there or callers who would like to talk with us about the Robin Williams circumstance, about your own, somebody you know, somebody we can help, about what Sioux Falls is doing with addiction and recovery, call us at 336-1320, 336-1320. Rev will talk to you for just a second. If you'd like to be on the air, we can do that. If not, we'll take your name, number, give it to either Joan or Julie in the studio. This is a special addiction recovery show, all a part of It's Your Business. Welcome back to It's Your Business, addiction recovery show that we do on the second and fourth Tuesday, trying to provide support for addiction with stories of recovery. And, of course, the milestone, the death of Robin Williams, found dead in his Marin County home in Northern California, has us talking this morning. He had just returned in the last month or so from trying to get help for his addiction, a relapse of sorts. And in the studio, we've got Kylie, who has talked to us about being 15 months clean and talking about the effect that the death of a Robin Williams or some of those that we have seen all too often, all too young, have on you. So for those joining us, if you'd like to call and be a part of our discussion, 336-1320. Love to talk with you. Or if you just want to leave a phone number for our panel to talk with you at a later time, we can do that as well, 336-1320. Kylie, as we talk about this morning, we do know that it has people concerned. How do you approach it if you have someone in the family that you know is addicted and needs help?
That's a tough question, because if I know that somebody is addicted, it's not my job to judge whether or not they need help. For myself, it didn't matter whether or not my family wanted me to get help. It was a matter of me wanting to get help. But, you know, I've had people reach out to me and say, I'm not sure what to do in this situation. And for me, the most important thing is to say that I can lend an ear and I can tell somebody my story. I can tell somebody, this is what I went through and this is what it can be like. And if I'm not sure, you know, if I can't relate well enough or if I need help, I call people like Joan or Jules and say, I need help with this. And they allow me to work with those people and just to give them a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, I guess.
We do have a caller, Larry. Do you have a question or an observation this morning?
I have a question.
Okay. Panel is ready.
Now, I've been listening to you guys off and on for a while, and you've been clean and sober for quite a while, it sounds like to me, but how close are you to always being on the line? Is it a fine line, or are people always on this fine line to going to regressing?
Joan, Julie?
Well, the fine line, I like to look at being in my recovery is something I have to do on a 24-hour basis. That's all I get. I wake up in the morning, I do certain things, I go to bed at night, and I don't drink in between those times. There have been periods in my recovery where I would say I was closer to the line than other times. And like Kylie was talking about earlier, you know, those are the moments that I was taught that I need to reach out. And my experience has taught me that when I do reach out, that those moments, you know, whatever I'm caught up in lessens a little bit so that I don't feel as much of a need to pick up a drink. I have thoughts of drinking, mm-hmm. you know, that's really common. I've had dreams of drinking. I've never gone through anything, God willing, I won't, that has caused me to say, okay, that's it. I need to throw everything away and start drinking. And, you know, when we were talking about the Robin Williams deal, you know, again, we don't know what was going on in his life, but it's pretty common for people who have been out, you know, who've been sober and clean for a long time, when they drink, to feel a great amount of guilt and shame that comes along with that. I know this because I work with a lot of people who are in early recovery. So I know that there's a little bit of that. But, I would say you think about it. It's just not one of those things that you do.
I agree. I think it's now it's more of a fleeting thought, if that makes any sense. When the thought crosses my mind now, and for me, a lot of that is tied to frustration or anger. If I'm frustrated, that's when the little voice in my head goes, it's time to have a drink. Now I can say, shut up, little voice in my head. Now I can say, I'm in charge. I'm calling the shots here. Initially, I didn't have the strength to do that, and it was a lot harder for me. And the key, again, is don't isolate. Because that's when that shame and that fear is just going to be like a snowball. And it just gets harder and harder and harder. So don't isolate and keep reaching out. And it does get easier. Does it ever 100% go away? For me, no. But it gets a lot easier. It's easier to manage.
But really, no chronic disease ever goes away. You know, so they all have their things. So.
Exactly.
336-1320, if you have an observation or a question this morning, it is our Addiction Recovery Show. We're talking about Robin Williams. We're talking about cases like Robin Williams that becomes despondent. They become turning away from society when they're in private. How do you know? How do you know if there is somebody that is so much on stage with 90% of their lives, but when they're alone, the 10% is what could eventually claim them?
You don't know. We don't know what happens in the hearts and minds of anyone. You know, there are probably outward signs that were going on. I'm assuming, you know, he had a family, and, you know, the thing is that nobody seems to understand this is a deadly disease. I mean, it is deadly. If you continue on drinking and using, you are going to die. It's going to kill you, whether you're in a car, whether you drink yourself to death, whether you hemorrhage, whether it's suicide. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is like alcohol and drugs are tied to like 50% of all the deaths in the United States in some shape or form. I mean, that's like a huge, huge deal. That's a huge medical problem. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's part of why we do what we do. But you don't know what's going on with him. Nobody would really have been able to say they knew what was going on with me. For most of the time, I was what they thought sober, and I wasn't, you know. So it's those little signs along the way that family or people close to them notice. And those are the people who initially reach out. It isn't usually the person who's suffering from the disease that I usually get the calls from. The initial person would be somebody who's close to them, and they don't know what to do. And that's when we can get in there.
Julie, one of the things that has happened in Sioux Falls is we have businesses that have signed on. Mm-hmm. Businesses that actually can be helpful for those employees that come forward. And I would encourage employees, employers today to revisit this. Mm-hmm. You're at a point where there is some awareness out there. What would you say?
You know, we have our employer initiative at Face It Together Sioux Falls, and 31 businesses are involved with this now, which is fantastic. And these are businesses that value wellness, that have stepped up and said they want to build a culture of recovery in their workplace, that they treat addiction the same as they would treat any other chronic disease. Truly, it's a remarkable thing. It's unique to Sioux Falls. There's no other organization in the country that has an employer initiative like this that is working with businesses. So it's a pretty incredible thing. you know, and if you own a business or, you know, the business you work for, you think you might be interested in this, check out our website. We just redid our website, faceitsiofalls.org. You can go in and read about the employer initiative, what it is, and what value we can provide to you in the business to try to help employees get well. You know, from a business perspective, the bottom line, addiction costs you a lot of money. It costs you money in absenteeism. It costs you money in healthcare. You know, if you look at, you know, like say emergency room usage, people who are actively suffering from addiction, they're getting injured. They're sicker. They're getting more time off of work. So, I mean, even if you take the human element out of it and just look at it strictly from a bottom line business perspective, it's the right thing to do to get involved in the employer initiative and to, you know, create that culture of recovery in your workplace, because it's going to save you more money and allow you to invest more in your business.
What I'm really pleased about is that this has been an ongoing process now for 18 months or so, where we have talked about the importance of getting help for the people that need recovery, that have addictions, and we can put Tallgrass and Face It together in the same studio. We can bring in people that want to help, that have relapsed, that are now clean, that have their story. That's what we do on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month, 9 to 10 o'clock. We have another half hour to go. We'll take your calls, talk further. All a part of It's Your Business. Welcome back to It's Your Business, Addiction Recovery Show, as we do on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. The topic has been Robin Williams. Kylie has joined us. 15 months clean. You have a smile on your face. How are you going to keep the smile on your face? How are you going to make it 30 months? How are you going to make it 45 months?
Honestly, I can't think in those terms. I think about what I'm doing today. And I want to see myself make it 30 months, 40 months, whatever it may be, but I'm doing what's in front of me today. And, you know, the biggest thing is stepping outside my box and doing things that I wouldn't normally do to help me learn and become a better person and become whoever I'm supposed to be.
And you do that day by day?
I do.
Sounds like somebody in sports that would say, we do it game by game, hole by hole, and that brings up Dustin Johnson. Top 10 in the world. Cocaine, admitted it a week ago, just before the PGA's fourth major event, the PGA Championship at Valhalla. Suspended for basically 6 months. Second offense. I know what Julie's going to say on the event. Golf is a little different than football. It's a little different than baseball, though we're hearing about the enhanced drugs in baseball mm-hmm. right now as well. So when you think of a Dustin Johnson with the cocaine, has a fiance with a Gretzky last name, mm-hmm. has everything going, much like Robin Williams, and we see almost the same scenario.
Well, again, addiction doesn't care whether you're rich or poor, white or black, a comedian or a golf guy.
He's one of the top five or ten in the world.
Okay. So. I never heard of him until this. You should know that. I'm not the sports girl. That's Julie. And so when this story came on, I believe it was on your newsfeed on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And she had kept mentioning that he had kept failing.
He failed three different drug screens.
Right.
And I guess what my question would be, you know, I understand each sport has their own governance and, you know, there's commissioners and whatnot that enforce rules within leagues. But with the PGA, I have to question, at the point where someone's failed three drug screens, okay, something's going on. Because if you failed three, you didn't use three times and fail three drug screens. So my question to the PGA would be, was he offered any sort of help? What was suggested to him? You know, I know there's very highly publicized stories of NFL players testing positive for, you know, marijuana, things like that, where they get multi-game suspensions. Those things happen fairly quickly. You know, you look at like a Ricky Williams, who basically kind of junked his career over pot. is the way some people look at it. And then other people would say, well, it's just pot. You know, I mean, so there's all these different viewpoints. But I guess my question to the PGA would be, what's the point at which you step in and try to help? Right. I mean, are they too worried about protecting what the pristine image of the PGA is? Is the image more important than helping one of your premier players? Because, you know, if he got the help he needed, he could be number one in the world. Who knows? I mean, if he's performing at this high of a level while he's tackling all these issues, because there's been a lot more reported than just the drug use. I don't know. It's interesting to me. At what point is the image of the organization more important than the individuals?
One of the things that they used to say, and being a little closer to the golf side than maybe Joan is.
I've driven a golf cart.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. A lot of times people that are driving golf carts just want to drink beer.
Right, and I would say that was what was going on. So, yeah, I mean, that's my golf experience. I don't know anything about it. I know who this person is that you spoke of who has been in the news. You know, and I just want to say what Julie was saying. I remember when this was going on her feed, I'm like, why wasn't anybody offering, why didn't anybody care enough about this individual? Not as this huge golf pro, but as an individual to say, yo, we've got a problem here, okay? It's obvious you've tested.
And obviously he's not alone.
Of course not. If 10% of the population suffers from addiction, he is not alone. And it goes it's everywhere, mm-hmm. You know? So why wasn't his family members? Why weren't his bosses, you know, mm-hmm.
Why not Wayne Gretzky, whose daughter right. was dating him, right. was engaged to him?
Why?
But I think some of that goes back to, again, stigma. Mm-hmm. And shame that's associated with addiction, because there is still the idea of how could this happen to the rich white guy? How could this happen to the man who had it all? Because we still have these ideas so deeply embedded in us of what we think a person who suffers from addiction looks like.
Right.
That is supposed to be someone who can't keep a job. That is supposed to be someone who can't maintain housing. That is supposed to be someone who can't raise his or her children. And that is simply not the case. And at some point, we have to open our eyes and quit saying, how can this happen? And just realize it is happening. And what can we do to be part of the solution?
And when you say one of 10, we're not breaking it down by demographics. We're not breaking it down by Mm-mm. income. We're not
nope.
breaking it down by people of
that
color.
That number holds no matter how you break the numbers down. That number holds.
So that being the case, there's nothing we could do about Dustin Johnson, who is now off the tour for 6 months. We'll obviously get some help. Robin Williams is a sad reminder of what can happen. Somebody that was the life of the party. Had a gift. Everything out of his mouth was funny, but was so depressed that apparently he took his own life.
You know, and we all fight demons. I mean, I think Kylie said that right away in the beginning. We all fight demons. Robin Williams, this comic genius that he is, you know, and a lot of people who are comic geniuses fight bigger
sure.
demons sometimes than
sure.
the rest of us. You know, that's how they deal. It's a deadly disease, you know, and I love that what you were saying. You know, I mean, if there wasn't this stigma, if we could treat this disease just like we treat every other disease in this country. I mean, I tell people all the time, if you had cancer, you were sitting across the table from me and you told me that you had cancer, we would not be debating whether you would be coming in to get treatment. You would be here already. This is a non-issue. It's a disease, okay? I have a disease. Kylie has a disease. Julie has a disease. We've talked in the past about how, you know, all these terrible things come up in the news about, you know, somebody hits somebody that's a DUI, somebody's driving drunks, whatever, all of these bad things that happen. And what people hear less of is the stories like Kylie's, like mine, like Julie, like Shane, like Jesse. All these people who come in and say, are willing to stand up and say, listen, I have a disease. It's manageable. You can manage a disease with the help of other people and medical science and all these other things that go with this. You can recover. We're the proof. We wouldn't be sitting here, mm-hmm. you know, and people forget that. Now, Robin Williams is going to come in, you know, for a while. They're going to talk about it for a while, and then it's going to go off the radar, mm-hmm. just like Philip Seymour Hoffman did, you know. But for now, while this is hot, everybody should talk about it a little bit more. You know, it's a disease. We have a disease, and we do recover from it. We just have to treat it.
I'm always impressed in the show the number of people that come forward that are willing to talk about it, that have become not only on the recovery list, but mentors. Mentors to those that need help, whether it's 1 in 10. We've even had people say they think it's 1 in 7 or 1 in 8. Whatever the number is, there's people out there that need help. And the best reminder we have that you need to get them help is Robin Williams this morning.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, if you need help, like, just reach out. Reach out to someone. If you're a family member of somebody who suffers from the disease, reach out. You need support as well. You know, the whole system is kind of broke when we are active in our addiction. And the whole system, family unit, needs to heal. But somebody needs to reach out. Somebody needs to be able to stand up and say, okay, over here, we need to treat this, you know, and not give up.
So if people need help today, how do they reach you guys?
Call Face It Together Sioux Falls at 605-274-2262 or on the internet at faceitsiouxfalls.org.
You can reach us at Tallgrass at 605-368-5559 or on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
If you're wondering how you can be involved, we have some events coming up in the next 60 days. That's a part of the Addiction Recovery Show on this Tuesday.
Who wants more money and better up?
Welcome back to It's Your Business. This is our Addiction Recovery Show. We do on the second and fourth Tuesday each month. We provide stories of people that have been addicted and are in recovery. And we do that twice a month. And this morning, obviously, with the backdrop of Robin Williams, we're talking a little bit different game. Those people that are just joining us, sad day, but it's a day not only to remember the smiles he gave us, but maybe another smile we could put on some faces if we get people help.
Absolutely. And not uncommon, you know. I mean, people, I was saying earlier, people die all the time from this disease. You know, the important thing is we got to focus on trying to get some more of those people into recovery. So with whether they reach out with their families or their families reach out or them or whatever, we really got to focus on. This is a great, tragic reminder of what happens when this disease is active.
We have some events coming up, and when I thought about the show this morning, immediately I thought about the March into the Light, mm-hmm. which is coming up, which is not that far away now, less than a month. And the March into the Light almost lets us look into the light of what is and should happen in Sioux Falls with addiction.
Absolutely. Jules blew out. She had to go do some things, and so she left me in charge of talking about the March into the Light. Last year was my first year to actually participate ever in the March into the Light. She would want you to know that you need to register, pre-register. It's like $20, I think. There's teams that you can join, or you can create your own, and you can fundraise. You can reach all of their information at FACEIT's website. I think, actually, if you typed in March into the Light, it would probably come right up on Google, and you can it'll prompt you to do whatever you need to do. It was amazing last summer, or when we did it last year. The weather, we thought we were going to get a lot of storming and everything, and we were all downtown. It's that September is recovery month, so we're kicking it all off with a whole bunch of activities involving recovery. But the March, I think they're shooting for, I want to say 500 to 600 people. Last year, they had roughly 400 people who walked through downtown and did the march itself, and it was an amazing thing. For somebody who's in recovery, like me, to be able to watch people who not only love me and but support the community at large of people who are in recovery, I think that's amazing. So it's awesome.
There is also an art show.
There is, and it's the night before the March into the Light. So Julie and I will be spending a lot of time at the Washington Pavilion this September. We have a call to artists out right now. If someone you know or if you suffer from the disease of addiction, we are asking for you to tell the story another way through a visual media, art, however you want to do that, and however you're in recovery. We have two themes this year. What does addiction look like to you, and what does recovery look like to you? Create me a piece so we can put it in our show. At September 5th, we are going to have an art show at the Washington Pavilion on the Grand Stage, Mary Somerville Grand Stage. There's going to be, like, last year we had some amazing art, but we've gotten some really good submissions this year. So we'll be there. Then we're going to have a recovery meeting afterwards, gratitude meeting. And then, like I said, the next morning we kick off the March into the Light. So it's going to be cool.
Kylie's with us this morning. We talk about 15 months that you have been, you use the word clean. What should that mean to the audience?
Drug and alcohol free.
And if I may be so bold, 15 months ago, it was what?
Drugs and alcohol controlled my life and every single aspect of it. There was no, at that point, even imagining being able to be clean and sober and live a life of recovery.
So how did you change? What happened in your life that you said, this is it, I have to go forward?
Well, I think I ended up in the hospital another time. But more importantly, I became willing and I surrendered. And I, like we've talked about pretty much all day, I reached out and I asked for help. And I said, I can't do this on my own. And thankfully, I know enough people in recovery and I have a big enough support system with my family that I got the help I needed. And here I am.
Where would you be today if you hadn't made the change 15 months ago?
If I were still alive, I can't even imagine what would be happening. I'm not very good at keeping things together when I'm drinking and using. So, you know, being alive is even questionable at this point.
We talked in the show about a professional golfer, top five in the world. We talked about Robin Williams, probably top five in the world as far as recognizable comedians. It doesn't have to be a top five to be a user, to be somebody that needs help. And if Robin Williams, loved by millions, can't get the help, how about those that aren't a Robin Williams?
You know, I lost one of my best friends 7 years ago to suicide and addiction. And I think it doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter who you are in the world. If you can just reach out one time, and if you can share the fact that you're suffering and that you feel alone and in pain one time to one person, it can all change.
Mentoring is a big part of the recovery. I've seen that over and over again with the guests that have come in that I didn't really know that much until they came on the air. Does the mentoring help you stay on track?
It does. It's a good reminder of where I came from because it's easy for me as an addict to forget what it's like to be drinking and using or to be starting in recovery. So it's a very good reminder on, you know, this is what I'm working for because I don't want to go back there.
Joan, as I read some of the stories this morning, it's more emphasis not on depression and addiction, but on suicide. Now, they all go together, as can be the case with Robin Williams. But the depression and the addiction certainly get you on that road to that final end.
Right, and it's hard to tell which came first. You know, I mean, until you get sober, you can't treat the depression, you know? And if you're depressed, are you trying to manage your that disease through substance, you know? So it's hard to tell which one came first. But I do know that until you at least get sober and start trying to change some of those things, neither one of them is going to change. And then we have this pitfall of that black hole of a pit that he must have been in. I mean, we can stand in judgment of no one in being in that pit. I've been there. I mean, I never attempted suicide, but I know what that feeling is. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. And I can't imagine, or I imagine that is what was going on with him. You know, that this, it's so black and so dark, and you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, there is a light there, but you just can't see it. You know, and tragically, this happens not to just Robin Williams. It happened to your friend 7 years ago. I had a friend who it happened to as well. I mean, it happens a great deal. Depression is tied a lot to addiction, and addiction back into depression. So, I mean, I don't know. There's not a clear-cut answer for any of this. You know, it's prayers to everyone involved in his family. You know, what a tragedy to have lost such a man, not just a man that we all loved, you know, But to have that in your own home with your own family member, you know, we know, Kylie and I know what it's like to lose a friend, but to have, I couldn't imagine losing my son or, you know, my spouse or whatever to something like this. So, again, it's so important that people reach out. You know, if your family member is suffering from this disease, reach out to someone. You know, somebody had to know what was going on a little bit. Not that they knew the depth of what was going on in his mind, but somebody had to know a little bit. And I think a lot of times they just think it's going to get better on its own, and it doesn't.
We're going to take one final break. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit about showing love for those people that need help and the fact that now may be the best time to do that with the passing of Robin Williams, all a part of the Addiction Recovery Show. Welcome back to It's Your Business, the Addiction Recovery Show. And it just happened to be the day that we learned of the news of the passing of Robin Williams. Death of a comic genius at 63, found dead, apparent suicide. And today the family is asking that we appreciate what he did in life. We might be able to appreciate a little more, too, if some of our people in our listening audience would see a Robin Williams and get some help.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's, want to point out, first of all, if you know someone who is active in their addiction, reach out. Reach out to whoever you need to reach out. There's plenty of providers in the city. We do a great job of helping each other out. And reach out to someone. Jill said 211. Is that right? 211 is the helpline. You know, 211, they can push you a little bit where you need to go. You can call Tallgrass. You can call Face It. You can call any of the outpatient places. You know, just call somebody, you know. And I know when people call me there, they have no idea what they're supposed to say. They don't know how much they're supposed to tell you. They never know exactly what they're supposed to do. If you call someone, they can help you walk through that a little bit. And there, I know people who can help you sit down with that person and have the conversation about how you need to, what's the next step, you know, of getting some help. So,
Kylie, you said your family was important to you. How were they when you made the move to get some help? How have they been in the last 15 months?
It went from my family and I having a very strained relationship to I talk to my family every day now, and they're very supportive and they're very understanding of if I'm struggling. I'm not the best at reaching out sometimes, so they can reach out to me, or, you know, they just understand this is what she's going through, and they're willing to talk to me about it now. Before it was like, what's wrong with this girl? They didn't know. Now it's, we can talk about it.
Joan, we've had several people on the show that admitted to having used at one time, mm-hmm. now in recovery. How difficult is it for them to come on and talk about it? Not everybody, I'm sure, would agree to do that, but you've had some very powerful messages that have come forth.
I have to tell you, the people who have come forward and been willing to tell their stories on the radio or however they're willing to tell them, they always warm my heart because they're very hesitant to do it. They always tell me their story is not very unique. It's not very exciting. You know, I mean, I think we all kind of feel that way. It's like, oh, I was just drinking and then I needed to get help. But they understand that by them telling the story, they're going to help somebody else, whoever that someone else is. And they may never know who it is, but they heard something at some point that somebody said and that changed it around for them so that they would be able to reach out and get some help. And the hope is that by them telling their story, somebody will do the same. It's kind of like, you know, payback or pay it forward or whatever you want to call it. That's kind of what happens. So I love when they're willing to come on. And, you know, some of our greatest guests that we've had on here have been people who are so timid about being on the radio, you know, like, well, they're scared of you, of course.
Naturally.
Right. And then they're scared of what are people going to think? And then we have to kind of get past that. What are people going to think? So it's an amazing thing to have them come and tell their stories.
Robin Williams gave us a lot. He can give us even more if you'll get some help from people. Our time's up. Thank you. For